Look at that. We said we were going to do a short show, and we did it. We did the thing.
Especially once we get off the technical difficulties. Yeah. This is a newish computer. So after I spilled orange juice on a computer, Chrome Notes doesn't have the permissions to share screen anymore. And I didn't realize that until just now. So yes, content quest completed.
I make a joke about having to go report to the Bracer Guild, but neither of you would get it because both of you refused to play Trails of the Sky first chapter.
Look, it's not like an active decision. I just send me the Steam link.
I will do that. That is the least I could do. But yeah, it's
I think my issue is I'm like trying not to get into any new games. I probably shouldn't even be playing any No Man's Sky because I have to like catch up on a bunch of reading for my classes that I'm prepping for and keep working through the calculus book ahead of the students. And I'm well ahead of my student who I'm actually teaching calculus to, which is good. That's important. But I'm realizing that I'm going to have to go faster because I'm also tutoring a college student in calculus. And so he's covering it in a semester instead of a year. So this is good. This is good because I should be through all of it forthwith. But he was asking me a question about it. And I was going, I think so. I think you are correct about this question, but I'm actually not sure. And that's a problem. So I will.
These are so much more responsible reasons than mine, which is like, but I have so many other games in my queue to get through.
Oh, I'm terrible about that. I mean, well, what I tend to do is I'm like, I have all these games I want to play that are new, and then I end up just playing an old game when I have a minute.
Yeah.
So like, all right, here's the thing. Never finished Hollow Knight, and now that Silksong is out, I'm like, I should do that. Hades 2 is now out. So there's that to get back to, and hopefully I'm halfway through. From the early access, I guess we'll see. I have not been back to that game in a while.
Yeah.
And then
I probably just have to start that one over because, like, I think I tried to pick it up a couple months ago, and I'm like, I don't remember anything that I was doing, and I don't know what is happening
now. Many hours down the drain.
Yeah.
And then
this is why I didn't start. Like,
right? Yeah, I was a fair choice. And then I never finished the DLC for Ghost of Tsushima, so I'd like to get that done before.
I don't even think I played that, the DLC. I just finished the main game and called it a day.
Yeah, but I'd like to finish the DLC before playing Ghost of Yote.
Yeah, I probably am going to get Ghost of Yote when it comes out also, because I kind of half-heartedly started Final Fantasy VII Rebirth the other day, and I didn't get very far. Well, I just like, oh, I should try this again. And then I got into it. And then Maureen called me and said, hey, I left my thing and I need you to bring it over to the school. And then I just didn't pick it back up again. So,
yeah. Well, so, yeah, then I've got my recent sale games, which is the newest Prince of Persia, which is supposed to be very, very good.
The Prince of Persia. Not the rogue Prince of Persia, but the real one, right? The what the hell? What the hell is he called? The Prince something. Not, well, yeah, I mean, it's all the Prince, but the lost crown, right?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, that is very good. That is, I played that a few months ago. That is very good.
And then yeah, I never finished the DLC for Horizon.
So you just have to stop buying DLC is the
second Horizon. I don't even buy the DLC. They're just there. Eliza P got a free DLC. I haven't finished the base game on that one either, but yeah. It is a lengthy queue.
Yeah, that is a lot. I mean, I have an equal queue, but I've just kind of resigned to not getting to a lot of them. And I have, well, I'm having an issue with my reading where, like, I need to stop just reading new books that are like, ooh, shiny. This looks like a good thing to read because I really need to get... Well, what I need to do is, because I'm teaching one-on-one, the students have some choice in what book they want to read out of options. So I need to get my student to nail down what book she wants to read next and then like plow through it as quickly as I can. Ideally, something I have already read. Although my husband made the point of, if I pick a book I have not already read, then I will go more carefully through it because I'll know I have to. So
he's a smart one. And,
yeah.
You should marry him.
Versus, yeah. Yeah, that's what I decided. Because otherwise, sometimes it's tempting to be like, skim through it a little bit, because I'm like, well, I read this, but there's always, you really have to go through it carefully. I mean, teaching something is the way that you find out that you don't actually know about it. So, yeah. Unless you've actually done the prep to actually know about it. Students have a way of finding questions that we don't know. And of course, when the student does ask a question and I don't know the answer, I, you know, say, I don't know. This is my guess. Let's find out. Because I have very vivid memories of times when teachers were wrong and then refused to believe me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I've probably told these stories before. It was like the first time that I realized like, well, I remember the first time that I realized that teachers can be wrong. And that was in fifth grade when I asked my teacher what was the difference between England and Britain and the UK. And she did not know. She said, I think they're the same thing. And I knew that they were not the same thing.
Oh, don't say that to somebody in England. They will.
I know.
Yeah.
I just triggered everyone in the UK.
Oh my God. Yeah.
tell a Scottish person that the England is the same as the UK and you know they're going to have words with you. So yeah. But I had been reading like a lot of books set in England and there you know different terms being used and I was like I didn't quite know so I knew she was wrong but I didn't know what the right answer was. Then in sixth grade the librarian, I can't remember why she was talking about King Henry VIII, but I had been on like the whole of fifth grade. The reason I had asked about England was because I'd been on like a Tudor era kings and queens, like reading biographies and stuff like that, and like historical fiction. So the librarian said that King Henry VIII had 8 wives and killed 4. And I raised my hand and said, no, he had 6 wives and killed 2 of them, which is still a lot of wives to have killed. And she refused to believe me. And this was before you could just pull out your phone and Google it. Uh-huh. So, and I was incensed. And then later in the same day, she mixed up Ariel and Puck from Shakespeare. From
Oh, no.
I raised my hand again.
Oh, hell no.
And she refused to believe me again. Even though I had like been to the Ashland, Oregon Shakespeare Festival recently and seen those plays. I had seen both Tempest and Midsummer Night's Dream. And so I knew the difference. And as a teacher now, like I have a lot of sympathy with mixing up Ariel and Puck while you're talking off the cuff. But if a nerdy child corrects you, you have to at least entertain the possibility that they are correct. Especially a neurodivergent nerdy child, which to be fair, we didn't know about me yet, but really any nerdy child, like does the librarian have time to be reading all kinds of biographies about the various tutors? No, she doesn't. So she might not remember how many wives, but I, as a sixth grader, had tons of free time in which to be learning these things. So you just don't correct people about their special interests unless you are very sure that you are correct. And even then, I'll sometimes do what my father used to do, which is, let's go look it up, even though everyone knew that he was right. If he, And of course, it's easy now because you can just Google it. So,
yeah. Although, yeah, I don't know if a teacher would just go ahead and Google a... like in the middle of class in person, you know?
Yeah, probably not. With a full class, you wouldn't stop all of class just to look up which one is Ariel and Puck. You would just sort of say, like, if you know that they're right, then, oh, yes, you're right. If you're not sure, you know, be like, this is how I remember it, but we can look it up after class.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you're very sure, then, no, Ariel's this one, Puck's that one. But, yeah, I do have it a lot easier because I'm usually working with one student, so I can just, like, and I have my laptop right there in front of me, so I can just Google it if I think it's important. And it's not them trying to get me off topic, which they also do a lot of. Admin actually was talking to us about, like, so building rapport with the students is really important, but don't let them get you off topic for 10 minutes at a time. The class is only 50 minutes. And they're very good at that.
And you said, but I have ADHD. This is my entire, like, thing is going off topic.
Yeah, well, and then especially if my student also has ADHD, and then, you know, I have one student whose math is not her favorite subject, and she specifically tries to get me off topic. Although it's also, I think it's like 25% her purposely trying to get me off topic, and 75% that's just how her brain is going. She's just now thinking about, like, how frustrated she is that she can't curl her hair because it's too straight or whatever it is, and so that's what she wants to talk about. It's like, okay, that's frustrating, but math.
Well, can you figure out the radius of the curls that you would want to have in your hair, and how you would, you know, how much you would have to curl them in order to get that? Yeah.
Sometimes I have one student who really likes D&D dice. So I made up games for math involving D&D dice. Like, we each get a certain number of dice and we're going to roll them, and then we're going to try to make fractions closest to this value and stuff like that. So she's learning about equivalent fractions. Or starting out with just make the biggest fraction and then make the smallest fraction and stuff like that. Where the pitfall with make the smallest fraction is that students will try to, they'll say, like, oh, my lowest two numbers are 1 and 2, so I'm going to do 1/2 instead of like 1/8 or something, right? Mm-hmm. So you actually need the biggest number on the bottom and the smallest number on the top. Once they get that, it's not a very interesting game. Until they understand that, then it's interesting. And then once they get that, you can move into,
but up to that point, it's
more interesting stuff.
I came across, I mean, I've known about him for a while, but I guess he had a new special or something. There's a comedian named AJ Wilkerson who has autism and ADHD and social anxiety and regular anxiety and everything else, and he basically stims the entire time that he's on stage, and it was very, like, his whole routine is about autism and ADHD because that's basically his life and also his personality at this point, but it is very, very good, and he's been getting better with, like, more that he's been doing. So
what's the name of this guy?
AJ Wilkerson. He's on, and all of his stuff, it's like, he's got like 5-hour-long specials on YouTube. So there's like a lot of material, including one called Side Quests, where he just pulled out all of the things that he didn't mean to talk about on stage, but he ended up talking about because somehow he got sent down that road, and that's where his brain took him, which is very relatable.
Yes, I have to make conscious efforts to not do that. The worst was actually when I was teaching psychology, because I was so excited because that's what I majored in. And I, you know, knew so much about it, and so it was harder to be systematic about this is what these are the concepts you need to know. This is what they're called. Then we'll go on tangents about them. But it's hard for students if there isn't some structure around what are we returning to as the things that you actually need to remember, like what are the takeaways from this. So I got a little better about that. I'm actually known among admin as being a structured teacher, which is possibly surprising, but it's because I overcompensate.
Well, I mean, most of us do, right? Like, that's what happens. So you know, it's you end up that way because you have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I almost do better with the students who like need more of that. And students who want to go off and do their own thing. It's like really fun, but then I'm scrambling to how do I not overstructure them, but also not just like follow them into the weeds. And then we're just both in the weeds now.
Everybody's in the weeds.
I definitely needed structure for education stuff. Cause I mean, I remember even with art, I was just like, just give me a proper assignment. Don't like tell me to do whatever I want. No, that's terrible.
Yeah. No, my current AP Lit student was like, how do you want me to do this assignment? And in fact, I did not care that much as long as it was interesting. But I realized she needed me to tell her a specific thing. So I said, okay, tell me if you don't like this and we can work out something else that still is fulfilling the course objectives, but do this. She was like, okay. You know, a specific prompt because yeah, I mean, I'm that way still. I get very frustrated if I'm have a grad school class and it doesn't say how long something is supposed to be. And I don't have an example. And especially if it's an online class and I can't ask the teacher. I had one class. It was online. The professor, I have some sympathy for the professor because she was definitely not being paid enough for this. And there was way too many people in the class. But she did not respond to my single very nice email saying, can you just give me some idea of the length that you're looking for? So I had no idea how long I was supposed to write these things. And the prompts were all very sort of vague. And I knew what, if I had written that assignment, what I would have intended from it, but I was pretty sure that that wasn't what she meant because that would have been more than like one class's assignment. Because eventually I realized that some of the assignments had been written by AI and that's why they were so vague.
Oh, yeah.
So, which she like, I was like, okay, you can use AI to brainstorm some assignments, but then make it good, though. Don't leave it bad. So, that was almost more frustrating than when I had an instructor who was just, like, extremely technologically challenged. So, like, everything was just not showing up on Canvas, which is the, like, online class portal that all the colleges use now. Every class, and it was a Zoom class, but there was like always there was always something. Luckily he had an IT person who he could call, but in between classes things wouldn't be visible or they'd be in the wrong place. Or it was like I did learn some stuff, and I had a sense he was a really good, like, I was like, okay, if you saw this person in person, I think he'd be a really good clinician. But he just really struggles with tech.
I mean, especially people have been doing it for a long time, like before any of this stuff happened, right? Like, and then they had to learn it after the fact. Like,
yeah, I think this was like a pre-COVID class that he had taught that he was now having to adapt to it being remote.
Yeah. And
that was not the easiest thing for him. And I think he also, he's not a fast typist, or like maybe dyslexia of his own or something. Like, so it was hard for him to just like quickly type and respond to things. He could use like dictation software and knew how to do that, but then if you're on a Zoom call you can't really do that. And like,
right, yeah,
it was you know, you end up with a lot of neurodivergent people in this field for obvious reasons, I think.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should probably find someone to raid. There are not
sounds
many
like a plan
streaming tonight. I don't know if we raided Ron Mexico last week, but we're raiding him this week. So
I think we did, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I forgot to mention at any point that the Demon Slayer movie was awesome.
Oh. I don't remember why my kids were not interested in going to see that, because normally they're jump on top of anything like that. But I don't know. Or maybe it's just like Demon Slayer is too basic for them or whatever.
If they're not caught up, that would be a reason.
Is it like an extension of...
Yeah, Demon Slayer movies are canon, right? I mean, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, it's like going to play the new Trails game in the middle of the thing, right?
So rather than doing like a sort of, you know, strange number of episodes for the end of the series, they're doing three films.
So like six seasons in a movie? That's a Community reference, so.
Sure.
Anyway, we're going to send you over to Ron Mexico, everybody. Thanks for coming out. We will be on a different schedule next week because next Thursday is Yom Kippur, and I don't know when that means for us recording next week, but we will figure it out and let you know. So thanks, everybody, for coming out. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.